بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على رسوله النبي الكريم أما بعد. In the previous class we had gone over the adab or the etiquette of waking from sleep. And one of the three things that we said that a person should do is when he wakes up, the first thing he should do is remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the first thing a person should do. Whatever dua he knows or anything that he can do to remember Allah. Start off his day by the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After that, the person should get up and make wudu. He should go and make ablution. After that, normally a person gets dressed up to either pray salah or work or wherever he's going. He puts on that clothes with correct intention, and if he knows the dua, he says Alhamdulillah and puts those clothes on. And he puts it on with correct intention, so inshallah throughout the day, but as long as he is wearing those clothes, he'll be rewarded for it, inshallah. Those are three things that we should try to do. That was for last week. So inshallah we have made a habit by now. Inshallah in this class, we'll go over the next section. Just this one section inshallah, it's only a page long in this book. And then the next section is about wudu or ablution, which is about 3 pages long. This is Babu Adabi Dukhul al-Khala. The etiquette of using the lavatory. The etiquette of using the washroom. Imam Ghazali rahimullah says, فَإِذَا قَسَدْتَ بَيْتَ الْمَاءِ لِقَضَاءِ الْحَاجَةِ فَقَدِّمْ فِي الدُّخُولِ رِجْلَكَ الْيُسْرَى وَفِي الْخُرُوجِ رِجْلَكَ الْيُمْنَى وَلَا تَسْتَسْحِبْ شيئاً عليه اسم الله تعالى واسم رسوله ولا تدخل حاسر الرأس ولا حاف القدمين. He says, when you go to the lavatory, enter with your left foot and leave with your right foot. Do not take inside anything that has on it the names of Allah Most High or His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And do not enter with a bare head or bare feet. The first thing that Imam Ghazali rahimullah points out is, when we enter the washroom, enter with your left foot. This is a general ruling. Anytime you're entering a place that is not considered clean, a place that is considered dirty, or a place that is considered filthy, we should enter with our left foot. And on the contrary, on the opposite, when we enter an honorable place, or something that is good and clean, we should enter with our right foot. When you enter your home, enter with your right foot. When you leave, you can, if you, you know, leave with your left foot. So your right foot stays in, leave with your left foot or right foot. But whatever you enter an honorable place, it's right foot. Whatever you enter a filthy place or dirty place, you enter with your left foot. And you exit the opposite. So when you exit the washroom, you're going to exit with your right foot first. Because you don't want your right foot to be in there last, you want your left foot to be in the washroom last. So the left foot is the first foot you put in, and the last foot that you take out. So this is a general ruling, not restricted to the washroom, but usually, generally, washroom area is the place that is considered filthy. Another thing to point out is, these are all the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No other religion will you find that you enter the washroom with your left foot, that you're getting rewarded for it. You had the intention that you're following the practices of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you're getting rewarded for it. For what? For walking with your left foot. So these are not small things, and if we give them importance and we bring this into our life, there will be some kind of barakah and blessing through it too. And inshallah there will be reward for it too. So even if it's something very small and simple, but at the end of the day it's still the ways or the sunnah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whom Allah is the most pleased with, who is the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we try to imitate and follow him as much as we can. The next thing that is mentioned, that Imam Ghazali rahimullah mentions, is that anything that has the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not take it into the washroom. Anything that has the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not take it into the washroom. This is out of respect. So if you have a ring that says, that has Allah's name on it, or you have a hat that says mashallah or inshallah, and these new hats that are coming out, when you walk into the washroom, you should take it off. And if you're at an airport, and it's very difficult for example, if you have a hat, you can't put it in your pocket. So if that's the case, then put it in your bag. Take your bag inside the washroom if you have to. If you're at an airport, it's difficult to give it to someone else, you don't have anyone, you're by yourself. Then you can take the bag into the washroom too, but put it inside of the bag so at least Allah's name is covered. Likewise, the Quran. Put your Quran, if you have the Quran while you're at the airport, you're by yourself, put it in the bag. And then go to the washroom. But cover it up. Anything with the name of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or a verse of the Quran, we should have it covered up. Our phones have the Quran on it. We can just turn off the screen and put it in our pocket. At least don't leave the screen on when you walk in. So cover the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next thing is, do not enter with a bare head or bare feet. Remember, we have to think about the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there are times they didn't have washrooms like we do nowadays. They didn't have washrooms like we do nowadays. They didn't have sinks the way we have it. They didn't have toilets the way we have it. A separate stall, a separate area for each person. Or each stall that has a separate toilet and stuff. They didn't have that stuff in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So wherever they would go to a far area, an area where you can say people used to commonly use for the washroom to, you know, relieve themselves. So that area used to be filthy, used to smell. So if you don't wear a hat, if you're not covering your head, then that smell gets in your hair. Then, you know, if you're around, you're cooking, and your wife's cooking, your mother's cooking, or you're cooking yourself, that smoke, when it gets inside of you, it gets on your body, and your body starts to smell. So likewise, when you go to this filthy area, the smell comes to the hair first, comes to the head. So that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his normal habit was to cover his head. Likewise, he's walking in a filthy place, so he used to wear something to cover his feet. We have slippers nowadays. We can just wear those slippers to follow the ways of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So remember, in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was a dirty area, it was a filthy area, it was a smelly area. So in that time, they really needed something to cover their head. They really had to cover their head, and they need to wear something to cover their feet. Now, if you look on, and if you have the book, it says number one next to bare feet. If you go to page 163, he explains it in more detail. He says, according to some sources, keeping the head uncovered in the lavatory leads to the following: fright of jinn, forgetfulness, and a bad smell in the head. Covering of the head when answering the call of nature is from among the practices of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This in itself should be enough. No other reason is necessary. No other hikmah or wisdom behind it is necessary. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he used to walk into the lavatory, when he used to go to the washroom, his head was covered. That's enough for us. Everything else is secondary. Everything else is secondary. So the first thing is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it. That should be enough for us. When he walked into the washroom, he had something, he had a hat or a topi or some kind of thing covering his head. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates, so continuing the notes, Aisha radiallahu anha narrates that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the toilet, he would cover his head. Similarly, Habib ibn Salim reports that when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the toilet, he would wear shoes and cover his head. This is also related from Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. There are similar narrations from Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu. Allama Manawi, in his famous hadith commentary of Fayd al-Qadir, under the hadith 6667, explains, the reason the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam covered his head when entering the toilet, it was done out of respect for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and because covering the head when answering the call of nature causes the pores of the body to contract, thereby allowing quicker emergence of the feces. It also prevents the odors of the toilet from getting onto the hair. The scholars of the path maintain that it is necessary for a person to be bashful and covered even when answering the call of nature. So at the end of the day, the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he used to cover his head when he used to walk into the washroom, should be enough for us. And generally, normally the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam always had his head covered. Wherever he would walk, he would have some kind of covering for his head. And you can find that in many hadiths, it was done in the time of the majority of the Arabs would do it too in that time. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would always cover his head wherever he would go. He would cover his head, and walking into the washroom, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in literally pointed out that when he was walking into the washroom, he had his head covered. Otherwise, you don't generally find it that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had his head covered. So this is something that we should try to bring into our lives also, just to follow the ways of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَقُلْ عِنْدَ الدُّخُولِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الرِّجْسِ النَّجَسِ الْخَبِيثِ الْمُخْبِثِ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَعِنْدَ الْخُرُوجِ غُفْرَانَكَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي أَذْهَبَ عَنِّي مَا يُؤْذِينِي وَأَبْقَى عَلَيَّ مَا يَنْفَعُنِي. Imam Ghazali rahimullah says, Before entering the lavatory, say, in the name of Allah, I seek refuge in Allah from filth and impurity, and from the defiled one who defiles, Satan the accursed. And upon leaving the lavatory, he should say, your forgiveness, all praise to the one who takes from me what harms me and leaves me what benefits me. Now, when you see this dua, it might be against the common dua that we generally heard or we have read. This is the opinion of Imam Ghazali rahimahullah. This is the dua that he has came across. And there's many duas that you can recite when you enter the washroom. However, the most accepted one, the most relied upon opinion, the authentic, most authentic narration is the one that I put in this paper that I gave before you, is Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. This is a common dua that are found in the books of hadith, the most authentic dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. Mulla al-Ghali rahimullah narrates that when a person makes this dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts a barrier between him and the shayateen, puts a barrier between him and the jannat. So this is a dua, because it is a common practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to recite this dua, we should also try to bring it into our lives. Now the first question that comes to mind is, when should I recite this dua? When am I supposed to recite this dua? If you look at the hadith like Tirmizi and other books of hadith, it says, إِذَا دَخَلَ الْخَلَىٰ. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would enter the washroom, he used to recite this dua. But when you enter an area of filth, or it's dirty, especially in their times, in an area that's dirty and impure, you shouldn't even say Allah's name. You shouldn't recite Quran. So what does this hadith mean? But it says the word dakhala. Dakhala means to enter. The scholars of hadith said, this wording dakhala was used, but what is meant is idha arada. What is meant is when you intend to use the washroom. And further proof for that, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah narrates a hadith in Adab al-Mufrad. Al-Adab al-Mufrad, not Sahih Bukhari. He narrates in Al-Adab al-Mufrad. He says, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أراد أن يدخل القلاء إذا أراد أن يدخل الخلاء قال اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الخبث والخبائث. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah narrates in his other hadith book called Adab al-Mufrad, whenever the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would intend to use the washroom, he used to make this dua. So it's not when you enter the washroom, it's when you intend and you're going towards the washroom. So scholars say right before, if you're in your house, a person's in his house, right before he walks into the washroom, right before he walks into the toilet area, he should make this dua. Remember, don't make this dua when you enter, make it before you enter. And inshallah, we'll go over the ending dua, inshallah, at the end. So the first thing to know, for us to bring into our practice, is to cover our head. If possible, wear some slippers and do it just to follow the ways of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Enter, before you enter, make this dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. The reward is there, but at the end of the day, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say it, that should be enough for us. Then when you enter, enter with your left foot. Another thing, now inshallah he'll go over a little bit more about preparations. وَيَنْبَغِي أَن تُعَدِّ النَّبْلَ قَبْلَ قَضَاءِ الْحَاجَةِ وَأَلَّا تَسْتَنْجِئَ بِالْمَاءِ فِي مَوْضِئِ قَضَاءِ الْحَاجَةِ وَأَن تَسْتَبْرِئَ بِالْمَاءِ وَأَن تَسْتَبْرِئَ مِنَ الْبَوْلِ بِالتَّنَحْنُهِ وَالنَّتْرِ ثَلَاثًا وَبِإِمْرَارِ الْيَدِ عَلَى أَسْفَلِ الْقَبِيلِ. You should make ready the cleaning materials such as toilet paper and water, toilet paper is in parentheses, before you actually begin to relieve yourself. Do not wash yourself with water in the same place where you relieved yourself, because the dirt was splatter on you, or the water was splatter on you, in their times it was important. You should endeavor to rid yourself of all the urine by clearing the throat and squeezing the male organ 3 times and by passing the left hand under it. Now, the first thing the Imam Ghazali rahimullah is mentioning is make preparations before you start to use the washing. Make preparations before you use the washroom. Make sure you have water for istinja. You have in our times, if you have the toilet paper, make sure you have preparations before you use it. Another thing is, and there's 2 things to know when it comes to using the washroom. There's something called istinja and there's something called al-istibara. There's 2 different things. 2 concepts that we should have in mind. Al-istinja and al-istibara. Istinja basically means to wash yourself. After you use the washroom, you wash yourself, you clean yourself up with water. That's what's called istinja. Istinja is sunnah. The ruling of istinja is sunnah. There's something called al-istibra, which is wajib. Al-istibara is wajib. And that is to make sure whatever is left in you, to make sure it comes out. A common example the scholars usually give is, or the people usually give is, when you fill up gas, right, when you turn it off, then there's a little bit left, you shake it a little bit to take the rest of it out. That's what this is meaning. That's what al-istibara is, to make sure all the drops come out. And even though this is something that, you know, people don't normally want to talk about, but one hadith should be, we can keep one or two hadiths in mind whenever we talk about these things. Because it's very important that we teach our children how to do this too. Because it's not something small. It's not something so small. Children usually just go to the washroom, put their pants on and get up. However, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrated a hadith, or Imam Bukhari rahimahullah narrates this hadith, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed by two graves. And he said, إِنَّهُمَا لَيُعَذَّبَانَ. Both of them were being punished. And they're not being punished for anything big. They're not being punished for anything big at all. It's something very small in our eyes that they're being punished for. But they're being punished in the grave. And one of them was that he should not clean himself properly when he uses the washroom. Why is this important? If there's still something left in, a person doesn't clean himself properly, when he comes out of the washroom, some impurity can fall on the clothes. Well, there's impurity on your clothes, and it's more than the size of a coin or a dinar in their time, then your salah doesn't even count. So it's not something small. So it's very important we teach our children properly too. And another hadith, you find these things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching us all these things. One person came to Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, and he says, he's making fun of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, قَدْ عَلَّمَكُمْ نَبِيُّكُمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ نَبِيُّكُمْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى الْخِرَاءَةَ وَحَتَّى الْخِرَاءَةَ. He says, your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he teaches you everything. He even teaches you how to use the washroom. You know, he's trying to make fun of them. That, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, indirectly thinks that you guys are all dumb. He has to teach you guys how to use the washroom. But look how Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu responds. He doesn't argue. He doesn't retaliate. He doesn't just respond in mean words and you know, words to just upset this person and start an argument. He says, Ajal. He says, you're right. You're completely right. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does teach us. And he even teaches us how to use a washroom, and we should take three rocks and all these things that he narrates. So Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu took their joke, turned it around, and narrated it to be something good. They were mocking them. They were mocking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, using his hikmah and his wisdom, just says, Ajal, you're right. You're right. Your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did teach us. And there's nothing wrong with it. So it is very important that we don't take this lightly, but we also teach our children to make sure they are trained properly, you know, to make sure that they take care of themselves too, so their salah counts. And salah at the end of the day, we know, is the most important ibadah. And if your body is not clean, your clothes are not clean, like you don't have wudu, or the area is not clean, then your salah does not even count. So this is very, very important. It's not something that should be taken light. Another thing is, the methods that people use is, some people say just cough so it comes out a little bit. Whatever method that you can find out, whatever method you can use, just stick with that routine and don't go against it. What I mean is, sometimes people over worry. They have whispers from shaitan. The shaitan is telling them, no, you're not clean, you're not clean. They keep throwing these whispers in your mind. So make a routine and just follow it. And don't worry about anything. Don't overdo it. Just stick with the routine and just follow. But it's very important, and it's not something that should be taken lightly. And, you know, we should consider it, especially because it has an effect on our salah. وَإِن كُنْتَ فِي السَّهْرَةِ فَابْعُدْ أَنْ أَعْيُنِ النَّاذِرِينَ واستتر بشيء إن وجدته ولا تكشف أورتك قبلك قبل الانتهاء إلى موضع الجلوس ولا تستقبل الشمس ولا القمر ولا تستدبرهما ولا تستقبل القبلة ولا تستدبرها ولا تجلس في متحدث الناس أو في ذلهم ولا تبل في الماء الراكد ولا تحت الشجرة المثمرة ولا في الجهر واهذر الأرض الصلبة ومحاب الرياح احترازا من الرشاش لقوله النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن عامة الوسواس منه واتكئ في جلوسك على الرجل اليسرى ولا تبل قائما إلا عن ضرورة واجمع في الاستنجاء بين استعمال الحجر والماء فإذا أردت الاقتصار على أحدهما فالماء أفضل. If you are in the desert, go out of the view of the people. And if you find something on screen, if you find something to screen yourself, keep behind it. Do not uncover your nakedness until you reach the place where you will squat. Do not face the sun or the moon, nor have them directly to your back. So whenever you use a washroom, Obviously, we should sit down. Obviously, don't take your clothes off. This is also the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you intend to use the washroom, don't take off your clothes before you get there. Even though it seems like something we don't do, but at the end of the day, if you have this in your mind that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said don't do it, there will be reward just for following the ruling of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So just by knowing this fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned it in the hadith, do not uncover yourself till you get to the place. Just by knowing this hadith and following this hadith, you can get reward. Just by changing your intention. It's something we commonly do. So no one takes off their clothes before they go to the washroom, but just by having this in mind, you can get more reward for it. Because this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to do. Do not face the sun or the moon, nor have them directly to your back. There's different reasons for it. These are signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We shouldn't face them. Allahu alam, there's different reasons for it. Allahu alam the reason, but this is what something that is mentioned in the hadith. Another thing is, do not face the direction of prayer, nor have it directly to your back. So when you're using the washroom, wherever we are, make sure that we're not facing towards the Qibla. In our houses, we don't have that in mind when we built these houses. And obviously people around here wouldn't even care if they're facing the Qibla or not. But this is something we should have in mind. That whenever we're using our washroom, we should not face it, nor should I be back towards the Qibla. And if the bathroom or the toilet is put in such a way where you have to face the Qibla, or your back will be towards the Qibla, we should turn a little bit to turn away from the Qibla. Again, these are all found in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So just for doing it, you'll get rewarded for it because you're following the ways of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do not use a place where people are accustomed to gathering and talking, nor a place where people are accustomed to taking shade. Do not relieve yourself in standing water, nor beneath a fruit-bearing tree, nor in an animal's burrow. Basically, don't do it in an area where people are talking. This won't be in our times. But nowadays in a washroom, don't put the washroom in an area, if you have it in a house, or don't tell the people if a guest comes over to use this washroom where a person can hear the noises too. So give him a distance where he can go away. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith, وَإِذَا أَرَادَ الْحَاجَةَ, when you want to use the washroom, go far. Go far from not just where the people can see, but just go far from the hearing too. So they can't hear you either. So this is something we should consider too when you're using the washroom too. Do not relieve yourself on hard earth or into the wind so as to avoid splashing and spraying, for he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the punishment of the grave is from it. The word that is used, I don't know why it was translated this way, but the word that is used is inna ammat al waswasi minhu. Most whispers from shaitan come through this. Meaning if there's wind blowing and you use the washroom there, most whispers come from this, meaning shaitan is telling you that because you used it when there was wind blowing, maybe some impurity got on your clothes too, so you might think your salah does not count. And other times you might not have to go through it, but sometimes people, which is not something we should do, but they're on a long drive and they just want to quickly use the washroom, they don't have a stop they can do, they just go outside and just use it on the side. This is something we should refrain from, but if we do it and it's windy, we should consider this advice of Imam Ghazali rahimahullah too. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that most whispers come from it. Use your left foot to lean on and do not stand to urinate unless it is really necessary. If you have some kind of sickness or some kind of reason, you have some kind of stomach problem, and the doctor or someone says that if you stand it might be easier for you to clean your body and clean your stomach, then in that case you can stand. But however, generally we should not stand while using the washroom. Use stones or nowadays toilet paper as well as water. If you intend to only use one of them, then water is preferable. وَإِذَا أَرَدْتَ الْإِكْتِسَارَ عَلَى الْحَجَرِ فَعَلَيْكَ أَن تَسْتَعْمِلَ ثَلَاثَةَ أَحْجَارٍ طَاهِرَةٍ مُنَشِّفَةٍ لِلْعَيْنِ تَسْتَمْسَهُ بِهَا مَحَلُّ النَّجْوِ بِحَيْثُ لَا تَنْتَقِلُ النَّجَاسَةُ عَنْ مَوْضِئِهَا وَكَذَلِكَ تَمْسَهُ الْقَضِيبَ فِي ثَلَاثَةِ مَوَاضِعَ مِنْ حَجَرٍ فإن لم يحصل الإنقاء بثلاثة أحجار فتنمم خمسة أو سبعة إلى أن تنقى بالأوتار فالإيتار مستحبة والإنقاء واجب. In the case of defecation, or if you only use stones, you must use three clean dry stones, wiping with them the unclean area so as not to prevent the spread of the filth beyond the original area. In the case of urination, wipe yourself using three sides of a large stone or three small stones. If three stones are not sufficient to clean yourself with completely, use five or seven or more to complete your cleansing with an odd number. To use an odd number is preferable, but to complete the cleaning is an obligation. It is wajib or is obligatory. And other times we have our toilet paper and we have washrooms too, and there are times they had stones to clean themselves too. وَلَا تَسْتَنْجِ إِلَّا بِيَدِ إِلَّا بِالْيَدِ الْيُسْرَى. Use only your left hand to clean yourself too. Use only your left hand to clean yourself too. Do not use your right hand to clean yourself. Normally, the Prophet ﷺ, anything good, he used to start with his right hand, or he used to clean with his right hand. He would not use his left hand. He would not use his left hand. So, anything good that we are doing, try to use our right hand and refrain from using your left hand. And then at the end, Imam Ghazali says, وَقُلْ عِنْدَ الْفَرَاغِ مِنَ الْإِسْتِمْجَاءِ اللهم طهر قلبي من النفاق وحسن فرجي من الفواحش وادلك يدك بعد تمام الاستنجاء بالارض او بحائط ثم اغسلها. Upon finishing the process of cleaning, say, O my Lord, purify my heart from hypocrisy and keep my private parts from wrong action. Scrub your hands with the dirt off the ground or wall, or nowadays we have soap, then rinse your hands with water. At the end, Imam Ghazali rahimahullah says to make a dua. He gives one dua too, because he's also always considering the spirituality perspective of it. So he says, Allahumma tahir qalbi minan nifaq. Oh Allah, clean my heart from hypocrisy. Clean my heart from nifaq. وَحَسَّنْ فَرْجِ مِنَ الْفَوَاحِشِ. And protect me from using my private parts in wrong actions. This is the dua that Imam Ghazali rahimahullah has written. But the most common dua, the more authentic dua is the dua I've written. Commonly it is ghufranak. Usually you find ghufranak. That's all you find usually in the hadith. The wordings of the Prophet ﷺ was ghufranak. However, in Sunan Ibn Majah, he also narrated a hadith that says, Alhamd ghufranak, Alhamdulillah alladhi adhaba anni al-adha wa'afani. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me. And all praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has removed this difficulty from me, this harm from me, and He gives me comfort and afiyah. Now, this dua also is according to the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So whoever recites this dua will also be following the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Over and over, we find a hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was doing the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. He was always under and in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah was always on his mind. So what does this mean? Was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam verbally or always mentioning or doing zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Some scholars say what this means is the du'as that had been narrated or brought to us through the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that were mentioned about specific occasions, that is what is meant, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to always remember Allah. What does this mean? The dua for entering the washroom, you make that dua. When you leave the washroom, you make that dua. Before you eat, you make that dua. After you're done eating, you make that dua. When you drink water, you make that dua. So any dua that was narrated by a specific event, a specific action, if you just bring those duas into your life, you'll be amongst those people who always remembered Allah. That is what is meant by remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. Another thing to point out is, and these du'as are not something small too. Even in the previous class, last class, we had went over the du'as of when you wake up from sleep. A du'a, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, du'a is ibadah. In one hadith, he says, huwa la ibadah. Du'a is ibadah. So these are not small things. Just by bringing in these into our life, they have a spiritual effect. There's some kind of barakah that we can't see. Anyways, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, غفرانك. Why is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after using the washroom, saying, Allah, I ask you to forgive me? Why is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asking Allah to forgive him after using the washroom? The scholars have mentioned 10 opinions. But we'll just go over a few of them, just so you have this in mind too. More than 10 reasons have been mentioned. One of the reasons is that because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when you uncover yourself or in your filthy area, you're not supposed to take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're in a dirty area, you don't say Allah's name. You don't recite Quran. You don't recite Quran in a filthy or a dirty area. So that's one place where you don't recite zikr or anything or mention the name of Allah when you're in a filthy area. The second reason is when you are uncovered. When you are uncovered, you should not take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the one point I forgot to mention, when you walk into the washroom, and you let's say you forget to make the dua, the best thing is, if you haven't uncovered yourself yet, then when you're inside of the washroom, inside of the toilet area, then say the dua in your heart. Think about the dua in your heart. Say the dua in your heart. But don't say it verbally, because you're in an area of filth or in a place of a dirty area. Don't say it verbally, but at least feel it in your heart, this dua. So unless you, before you uncover yourself, then say this dua in your heart. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or whenever, generally, if you uncover yourself, you should never take the name of Allah. So when a person relieves himself, he has to uncover himself. So at that moment was going by where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not remembering Allah, where Allah was not on his tongue. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was always talking or remembering Allah. But this time he can't remember Allah because he has covered himself. He has uncovered himself. So when he walks out of that washroom, he's asking Allah to forgive him for that duration he couldn't mention his name. For that duration he couldn't mention his name, he's saying, "Oh Allah, forgive me." He didn't even do nothing wrong, but he's saying he couldn't remember Allah subhanahu, he couldn't say the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time, so he's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him. That's one opinion. Another opinion is narrated by Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gongohi rahimullah. He said, "Your person, when you use the washroom, you relieve yourself, you clean this dirt that's inside of you. You clean what's inside of you. So it's only proper that when you walk out of the washroom, after you have cleaned what's inside of yourself, clean yourself of your sins also. You have cleaned yourself clearly, like you have relieved your stomach, you have the dirt that's in your stomach, you have cleaned it. So now ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to clean you of your sins too." So look how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is turning our intention towards asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for our sins after he has just, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed us to clean our stomach. Another opinion is narrated by Mawlana Ahmad Saharanpuri rahimullah, who wrote a very lengthy and a long commentary of Sunan Abi Dawud. He mentions that this is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he allows you to clean your stomach. So we're thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what he has. For we're thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us to clean ourselves. Because this is a ni'mah and a blessing of Allah. Because if we had some kind of disease and we weren't able to clean ourselves, if we had some kind of disease and we won't be able to clean ourselves, then we'll actually know the ni'mah Allah has given us, that he has allowed us to relieve ourselves. And the last opinion is narrated by Mawlana bin Nuri rahimullah. He says, this word basically means shukran. Same thing at the end of the day, to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, غفرانك لا كفرانك. As a saying in the Arabic language, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we don't disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a dua the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam generally used to make, غفرانك الحمد لله الذي أذهب عني الأذى وعافاني. And because we just mentioned the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a story comes to my mind, I mentioned it before too. That in reality, this is a very big blessing of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us blessings that we cannot count. There's a story mentioned about an old person. He had a disease. He had a disease. The problem was he had a sickness. And he couldn't, his bladder didn't work properly. He couldn't use the washroom. He had trouble cleaning himself or relieving himself. And the doctors told him that he needs a surgery. But he wouldn't take that surgery. His friends would keep on insisting that, you know, you need a surgery in order to cure your sickness. You know, this is very important. It causes you a lot of difficulty and a lot of pain in your stomach if you can't relieve yourself. So this person, eventually his friends kept telling him, you know, you need to get that surgery. And eventually he gives in and gets that surgery. He's at the age of 70 years old right now. He's 70 years old right now. He says, okay, he finally gets the surgery. And alhamdulillah, he's cured. By the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's cured. In the mail, he receives the bill. He receives a bill. And it's, you know, 10,000, 20,000, whatever surgery costs. He receives that bill. There's people sitting around him. He opens that bill and he starts to cry. He looks at that bill and he starts to cry. And his friends and his family tell him that if you have trouble paying off, don't worry, we'll help you. You don't need to cry. We'll help you pay off the bill. He says, I'm not crying because you think I can't pay off this bill. I can pay this bill. I can afford this bill. I'm crying because for 70 years Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed me to relieve myself and he never sent me a bill. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed me to clean myself for 70 years and Allah never sent me a bill. So the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to clean ourselves, at the end of the day we need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it could be possible that a time comes where we aren't even able to clean ourselves. And just a spiritual aspect, Because Imam Ghazali is always trying to turn our attention to a spiritual aspect. One scholar said, when you have pride, when you think high of yourself, that you're something, then think about what comes out of you. Then see how much pride you have left. When you have pride, think about that dirt that comes out of you, then tell me how much pride you have. Think how big you are then. You're nothing in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's a ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that our sins don't smell. Because who knows how many sins that we have, but no one can tell. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to act upon this and bring this into our lives. And I just put down a paper, and there's also a PDF file for it, so if you want to download it and put it on your phone. And these are some actions that we can bring into our lives. There's only 6 steps mentioned in there. And inshallah, if we follow these 6 steps, we'll, even when we're going into the washroom, inshallah, we'll be rewarded for it, and we'll be doing it in accordance to the sunnah and the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jazakumullahu khayran, wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.